This morning on WCHL, university leaders will hear from the school's second-in-command today on measuring UNC's academic status. We're not even through the first quarter of the year, and already six rabies cases have been confirmed in Orange County.
It certainly seems like it's possible that we are having an uptick in the number of rabies cases.
And will zoning get in the way of an old abandoned property in Carborough getting a makeover?
It'd be nice to get some development there because right now we look into a giant sinkhole rotting warehouse.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports this morning, the Carolina women's basketball team is moving on. A 9-point defeat of Michigan State sends Carolina to the Sweet 16. In the NCAA tournament. Plus, the baseball team looks for a midweek bounce-back win when Winthrop comes to town this afternoon. And
Virginia coach Tony Bennett has bet on himself and is cashing in big this season.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
6:07 at WCHL. It's a chilly morning. We have 33 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. A little bit cold out there. It's just a little bit breezy. Sunshine today. High today only in the middle 40s, however. So a cool day. UNC Provost Jim Dean, who helped lead the campus through the recent student-athlete literacy scandal, will present suggestions to university leaders today that could be used as a framework for measuring Chapel Hill's academic status. The Carolina Metrics Project seeks to build a set of guidelines to measure academic performance and set targets for improvement. Dean will deliver the presentation during a UNC Board of Trustees, University Affairs Committee meeting. This comes in the wake of the academic and athletics controversies that have haunted the university for more than 3 years now. Those controversies continued in early January when former UNC athletic tutor Mary Willingham told CNN that a majority of Carolina student-athletes read at a level no higher than the eighth grade. Following the release of that article and the resulting media superstorm, university leaders went into defense mode, refuting Willingham's claims. UNC has since changed its sentiments slightly, switching from defense to acceptance. At a meeting of the Board of Trustees in late January, Folt said the university takes responsibility for past misdeeds regarding academic oversight, including the fraudulent classes within UNC's African Studies Department. But Chancellor Folt also said she supports UNC's current course of action to ensure those misdeeds don't recur in the future. In February, UNC retained lawyer and veteran of the U.S. Justice Department, Kenneth Weinstein, to address any questions left unanswered from previous reviews of course irregularities in the African Studies Department. UNC has also continued to address the issues surrounding academics and athletics internally. That includes a working group led by Dean and Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham. The University Affairs Committee will meet from 2 until 4 this afternoon at the Carolina Inn. Six rabies cases have been confirmed in raccoons so far this year in Orange County. According to Orange County Animal Services, in total, 12 rabies cases were recorded in 2013. Those are positive rabies cases. So we already have hit half that figure this year, and here it is only March. Bob Morado, director of animal services, said that rabies is a cyclical disease that ebbs and flows, demonstrating the importance of consistently taking precautionary measures.
It certainly seems like it's possible that we are having an uptick in the number of rabies cases that may well be related to the cycling of rabies through the host species. We see that in some of the data that's available historically for Orange County and for the state of North Carolina.
In 2005 through 2007, Morado said there were more than 20 confirmed cases reported each year. In the 1990s, when raccoon rabies first erupted in our region, he estimated that there were upwards of 90 confirmed cases per year. The sixth rabies case in 2014 was reported on Saturday, March 22nd, when Carborough residents spotted a raccoon in their driveway. They called animal control to have the raccoon picked up, and it later tested positive for rabies. The resident's dog did have contact with the raccoon before animal control removed it, and both parties involved briefly touched their dog afterward before washing their hands. The dog was currently vaccinated against rabies and will get a booster shot pursuant to North Carolina's rabies laws. According to these laws, if there is, quoting here, a reasonable suspicion of exposure, a dog or cat with a current vaccination must receive a booster shot within 120 hours, equating to 5 days. By contrast, an unvaccinated animal must either be destroyed or quarantined for a period of 6 months. Dogs, cats, and ferrets older than 4 months are legally required to be up to date on their rabies vaccinations. If you or your pet encounter an animal believed to be rabid, you should report it to Animal Services immediately by calling 919-942-7387. It's also advised that pets not be allowed to roam free where they can be exposed to wildlife. The Animal Services Department holds periodic low-cost vaccination clinics throughout the year. The next rabies vaccination clinic will take place on Thursday, April 17th from 3 until 5 in the afternoon at the Animal Services Center in Chapel Hill. The cost for rabies vaccinations is $10. You can read this article on our website, chapelboro.com, for more information on rabies vaccination clinic dates. We also have that contact number there. WCHL News Time, 6:11. More news in just a moment.
At the UPS Store, we love small businesses. That's why we're your community small business resource center. More than packing and shipping, we provide professional printing services, a real street address for mailboxes, even direct mail services, including design. To learn more about how we can help you, stop by the UPS Stores in Meadowmont, Chapel Hill North, and on Fordham Boulevard. You're not alone. We are here to help.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
Aren't you tired? Tired of worrying whether mom remembered to take her medications? Tired of staring at the phone until you hear that dad made it home safe from the store? Isn't it about time for a change? There's a reason you keep hearing our name. There's a reason friends keep telling you to call us. For over a decade, Home Instead Senior Care has been giving peace of mind to Tar Heel families, providing the support that seniors need to age in place. There is a difference, and that difference is Home Instead. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
Glass Half Full is the friendly neighborhood restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop in the heart of downtown Carrboro. We serve a delicious lunch of fresh salads, soups, and tasty sandwiches, including my favorite lobster rolls and mini burgers, and a soul-satisfying selection of Mediterranean-inspired small plates for dinner. Glass Half Full's seasonal contemporary cooking, intriguing wines from around the world, and striking modern design attract discerning friends from around the triangle. So come to Glass Half Full soon for some good food, good drink, and lots of good fun.
The cancer journey is a long one. Will you step into someone's shoes for just 5 kilometers of that journey? Join the Chocolate 5K on March 30th at UNC, and you'll help anyone affected by cancer. We will sweeten the journey with delicious chocolate while you run or walk. It all helps Cornucopia Cancer Support Center enhance the quality of life for our family and friends touched by any type of cancer. Step up and register today for the Chocolate 5K at cancersupport4.org. And thanks, WCHL, for supporting Cornucopia.
31 degrees in Chapel Hill, 613 at WCHL. A group of local developers wants to bring restaurants and retail to a long-abandoned property on South Greensboro Street in Carrboro. But first, there's a sticky zoning issue that needs to be worked out. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
It would be nice to get some development there because right now we look into a giant sinkhole rotting warehouse.
That's Kirk Gray, a Park Slope resident who lives near the long-dormant property at 501 South Greensboro Street in Carrboro. At Tuesday night's meeting of the Carrboro Board of Aldermen, Gray spoke in favor of a proposed commercial development on the property, which was applied for back in May of last year. Runyon Woods is a partner at Woodhill LLC, which purchased the property. He spoke to WCHL after the Board of Aldermen had discussed Woodhill's development application at Tuesday's public hearing.
There's an enormous number of really expensive corrections that this very distressed property needs. And in order to help pay for those development costs, we need to have some uses that will return us well, restaurants in particular.
Woods told the board that all of the restaurants Woodhill has been courting are local, but restaurants are not included in the property's M1 zoning, which allows for a limited industrial use with commercial uses that include wholesaling, storage, mail order, auto-related businesses, offices, and retail. Freestanding ATMs are also not included, and that's another feature Woodhill would like to put on the property. On Tuesday night at Town Hall, aldermen could have voted to approve amendments to the land use ordinance that would have allowed additional uses for an M1 development in this case, with conditions. The conditions included a trade-off plan of 15% site improvements for every 15% of new land use. Woods told WCHL that developers have that covered. They say they'll deal with the flooding issue that drove away the previous occupant, electric motor manufacturer Trem Electric, back during the 90s. According to Woods, the developers would raise the grade in the property as much as 10 feet in some places, as well as repairing a massive amount of underground infrastructure. One solution Woodhill is not interested in, according to Woods, is getting the property rezoned in a way that takes manufacturing out of the picture. Woods noted that when Trem Electric left Carrboro, the town lost more than 100 blue-collar jobs. He said Woodhill would like to help create such jobs again. But some aldermen expressed concern that other M1 properties in town could be affected in unintended and unwanted ways if the rules are changed for Woodhill. Alderperson Damon Siles dismissed that notion.
It is simply not the case that this is a one-size-fits-all approach to M1. We keep the same M1 we've had for however many decades now, but we're adding to it this opportunity for some developers who are able and interested in making substantial improvements to the property.
But Siles and Woodhill will have to wait a little longer. With Siles as the lone dissenting vote, the Board of Aldermen voted to direct town staff to initiate the process of creating a new M2 district with site improvement trade-offs by the developer to possibly be considered on a scale system. For more on this story, you can find it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
Governor Pat McCrory is requesting a federal disaster declaration to help 9 central North Carolina counties recover some of the costs stemming from this month's winter storm. A half inch of ice, sleet, and freezing rain fell on top of several inches of snow throughout the Triad and also along the Virginia border counties earlier this month. Heavy winds compounded this storm's effects, toppling trees and knocking out power in much of central North Carolina for several days. Local, state, and federal emergency management staff spent last week surveying storm damage to determine if there was enough destruction to warrant possible federal aid. Damage assessment teams found enough to request assistance for Alamance, Caswell, Davidson, Davie, Granville, Guilford, Orange, Person, and Randolph counties. So a pretty big area. WCHL News Time is 6:17. Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Berkeley Grimble, the man to see at Grimble Jewelers in Chapel Hill. If you're looking for an engagement ring, you think it's time to finally pop the question. You know the ring has to be a one-of-a-kind special item. Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's, in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods. Well, not a lot of traffic this morning. The traffic very light right now, this early in the day, but that situation's certainly going to change a little bit later on. When it does, you will be comforted to know that Rand Northam is here. He is in the newsroom, and he will keep a close eye on that whole situation all morning long. You'll be hearing from him throughout the morning here on WCHL. First report from Rand coming up about a half an hour from right now. Now, turning to your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather forecast. It's presented by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. Savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine right there on the UNC campus. And getting hungry just thinking about it this morning. It is 31 degrees in Chapel Hill. Sunny skies today, but really cool. High today only in the middle 40s. Tonight clear with a low in the low 20s. Tomorrow partly sunny with a high in the upper 50s. You will notice we have no mention of any kind of precipitation at all the way through tomorrow. Tomorrow night, it'll be partly cloudy and then becoming mostly cloudy after midnight with a low in the low 40s. And then on Friday, finally, we get a chance of showers, 50-50 chance of rain, high on Friday in the upper 60s. If you're wondering about the weekend, on Saturday, we'll be in the upper 60s with a big chance of rain. Saturday night, pretty much the same thing. And then on Sunday, high in the middle 60s and clearing up a little bit. 6:19 at WCHL. Welcome to the show this morning. Hope you're off to a good start and you can get going after a hot shower this morning. It's the middle of the week here. We'll get through it together. All right. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz. Well, the 4th seed North Carolina women's basketball team delivered a stirring performance on both sides of the floor last night in Carmichael Arena to down number 5 seed Michigan State. It was a convincing win for Carolina, 62-53, and that means the Tar Heels have booked a spot in the Sweet 16. They have to go all the way to Stanford, California this coming weekend to play. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more on the story.
I was fired up. I was extremely fired up for the game tonight. I had no nerves at all. I was at home with these fans who came out deep tonight, and they came out, and they were live too, so I had no nerves at all. We had no nerves. We were very comfortable where we were at, and we were very comfortable as soon as that ball got thrown into the air. It showed.
That was UNC's National Freshman of the Year, Diamond DeShields, after Carolina's emphatic victory. DeShields dominated the game in the first half, scoring 18 points and grabbing 7 rebounds. Michigan State head coach Susie Merchant says UT Martin, quote, poked the beehive for the Tar Heels. And she says one of the angriest bees was DeShields, who she says lived up to every bit of the hype.
I think UT Martin poked the beehive there, you know, and we got a swarming bunch of bees coming at us early, and the biggest one in the bunch was Diamond DeShield. What an impressive freshman. She certainly deserves a National Freshman of the Year. I mean, she was a one-man wrecking crew in the first half, and very, very special talent. Tough to guard.
The Carmichael crowd was strong, and with Carolina men's basketball coach Roy Williams looking on, the Tar Heels did not disappoint. They played the fast and physical brand of basketball that associate coach Andrew Calder says makes head coach Sylvia Hatchell proud.
Thought we were first 30 minutes were just outstanding Carolina basketball. I know Coach Hatchell was extremely proud. The players were outstanding. I just saw a Carolina performance that we're all very proud of and want to take to the next game.
Carolina jumped out to a quick lead, taking a 36-27 advantage into the halftime locker room. But it was the first half of the final 20 minutes of play that cemented the win. UNC overwhelmed Michigan State with some ferocious play and efficient shooting to build an insurmountable cushion. And DeShields had some advice for future Tar Heel opponents. Don't give them any bulletin board material before games. She says it only adds fuel to the fire.
It wasn't necessarily the hype. We got wind of some things that were said that fired us up a lot, struck a matchup underneath everybody, from players all the way down to the staff. All words that were said were settled on the court. I just would suggest not to, you know, make comments about our team before a game.
Carolina out-rebounded Michigan State 41-40 and knocked in 14 of 16 from the free throw line. Alicia Gray and Latifa Coleman both contributed 10 points to the Tar Heel scoreboard, while Jasmine Hines led the scoring charge for the Spartans with 16 of her own. Next up for the Tar Heels is a Sunday meeting with the top-seeded team in the Stanford region, the South Carolina Gamecocks. But Carolina's players will go into the contest with plenty of confidence. They beat South Carolina earlier this season. The youthful Tar Heels have made it clear they don't want to wait for the years to come to win big. Their goal is to reach the Final Four right now. But UNC's road to Nashville will first take a tough detour through California. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
So very impressive performance last night for the Carolina women, winning last night, moving on to the Sweet 16. Again, that final score over Michigan State, 62-53. Congratulations to the Tar Heels, and you also heard them give credit to the crowd, the crowd last night at Carmichael Arena. They certainly do have some great fans. North Carolina baseball team, 15-8 on the season now, 5-4 in conference play, will look to rebound from its 2-1 ACC series loss to Georgia Tech this past weekend when the Tar Heels take on Winthrop this afternoon at 4 at Bosch-Emery Stadium. Winthrop's had a tough season so far. They're 11-14 on the year. Tar Heels will need to produce some runs to get past the Eagles in this midweek test. The lineup only mustered a single run in their Saturday night defeat to the Yellow Jackets. Another rough blow was dealt to Carolina in the form of a blood clot in junior pitcher Chris McHugh's shoulder. McHugh underwent successful treatment over the weekend, but he's going to be out indefinitely. Head coach Mike Fox says the team will support him both physically and emotionally during his recovery. Before being derailed, McHugh was having a stellar season with a conference-high 7 saves in 7 appearances. First pitch between the Tar Heels and the Winthrop Eagles this afternoon is set for 4 o'clock. Again, that's at Bosch-Emery Stadium. And it will be a nice night for Carolina baseball, and hope you can get out and watch them play. Getting back to basketball for just a moment, we're going to talk to Walter Storholt, play-by-play announcer for the Tar Heel women's basketball team, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. We'll kind of recap what happened in the Michigan State victory and also what's ahead for this Carolina women's basketball team, once again in the Sweet 16. It is time now for the Osgood File on WCHL 625. Good morning.
The Osgood File. This is Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. There have been great strides in medicine. The potential human lifespan has been greatly increased, mostly because of advances in science and technology. We're our own worst enemy, though, because as individuals, we don't always take care of ourselves the way we know we should. We eat, drink, and smoke too much, and we don't get enough exercise, according to Dr. Carlos Dora of the World Health Organization.
We know that tobacco, high blood pressure, cholesterol cause and contribute to the causation of heart disease and strokes. We now know how much air pollution also contributes.
Of course, there's not much individuals can do about air pollution. The WHO does track and analyze yearly government data.
There are 7 million deaths attributed to air pollution in the year 2012. This is double the estimates that we had before.
The story after this.
If diabetes has you at the corner of a lot to figure out and a little help would be nice, you can count on Walgreens. With 24/7 expert pharmacy advice on medications and tracking your glucose, plus savings on prescriptions and supplies, we'll help you live well with diabetes. So talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today, because taking control of diabetes takes an extra hand. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Choosing the right retirement community for yourself or your loved one depends so much on a special kind of trust. And the folks at Holiday Retirement have built an all-inclusive, carefree, and affordable lifestyle for its residents with just that kind of trust. Holiday Retirement has over 300 independent living communities in the U.S. and Canada. Bring a friend and join us for lunch to experience firsthand the all-inclusive lifestyle Holiday can offer you. Visit us at holidayliving.com to learn more. That's holidayliving.com.
Man doesn't create all the air pollution, a lot of it, though. And air pollution isn't the only cause of fatal disease. Also, a lot of it, though, says the World Health Organization's Dr. Carlos Dora.
Air pollution is having such an important impact on a number of chronic diseases, including heart disease and strokes. Air pollution adds substantially to the risk of those diseases.
Is it that there's a lot more pollution now, or is it that we're getting better data? We asked Dr. David Green, an environmental health expert at King's College, London.
Well, I think it's better data on worldwide exposure that's become available and a better estimate of the risk factors associated with both indoor and outdoor exposure to pollution.
Outdoor means power plants. Indoor means stoves used in developing countries. Both mean coal, says Dr. Dora.
Coal is a carcinogen. Coal carries a lot of these small particles that causes all these diseases, and that causes this death.
The Osgood File. I'll see you online at Facebook, Twitter, and at theosgoodfile.com. This is Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
During the Subaru Love Spring event, Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill wants to hear from you. We received this wonderful testimonial from one of our clients regarding his recent Subaru purchase with client advisor Bill Miller.
I bought my 2013 WRX from Bill Miller at Performance Subaru, and the process was stress-free and fair, and was by far the best experience I've ever had with a car dealership.
Thank you, Dan. Bill is a fabulous team member. Like always, you'll find outstanding sales promotions at Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill. We continue to uphold our performance promise that promises exceptional service and value delivered by our professional staff. Our goal is to have you say wow and then tell us about your wow experience so we can share your feelings with the world. At the Subaru Love Spring event, we have rates as low as 0.9% for up to 48 months for qualified buyers until March 31st. We all love to save money, and we all love Subaru. Spring fever, that's what it is. Visit our virtual showroom at performancesubaru.com or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40. Wow.
I've been coming to UNC Family Medicine since I was a student here. My doctor knows me and she knows my history. Now my husband is a patient at UNC Family Medicine, so it just made sense for our children to come here too. They're like family. The Family Medicine Center at the corner of Manning Drive and 15501. Why would you go anywhere else?
Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. That's uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Hi, I'm Margaret Williams. Join me for a bike ride at Mapleview Farm on Sunday, April 6th from noon to 4 p.m., benefiting the Ullman Cancer Fund for young adults, and my cross-country bike ride this summer with 4K for Cancer. There will be an 8-mile bike ride for those who are interested, a raffle with prizes donated by local businesses, and an ice cream special of the day. For more information, visit the Mapleview Bike Ride event page on Facebook. I hope to see you there. Thanks, WCHL, for your support in the fight against cancer.
Hello, this is Freddie Kiger of WCHL, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News with my good buddy, Ron Stutz.
And Freddie, coming up just a little while here with another trivia question for you, WCHL. It is 6:30 at WCHL. We have 31 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. A little nippy out there. It's going to be sunny all day. High today in the middle 40s. Tonight clear with a low in the low 20s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the upper 50s. one night partly cloudy, and then becoming even more cloudy after midnight with a low tomorrow night in the low 40s. On Friday, leading into your weekend, it'll be a cloudy day with a 50-50 chance of showers and the high up around 68 degrees. Now, Friday night, cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain with a low in the low 50s. And for your weekend on Saturday, a cloudy day with a big chance of rain, high in the upper 60s. Saturday night, more clouds with a low in the low 40s. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the middle 60s. So that's your long-range forecast.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM, WCHL. And you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. With 16 bodies recovered and 8 more located in the mudslide zone, correspondent Begad Shaban says it's still a difficult process in Oso in Washington State.
The search and rescue effort was complicated to begin with, but then you add in the forecast this week. They've actually are expecting rain through the end of this week and have been dealing with it pretty much nonstop.
Some of the Saturday mudslides stopped behind Elaine Young's house.
We uncovered bodies and had to contact authorities to try and get somebody to come down and remove them.
Garrett Farnes found the bodies of his mom and his brother in the debris of their home, and he's helping look for other victims.
There's several different areas where there's houses at, and there's areas where there's no houses and just mud, and they don't have, like, dogs searching those areas.
CBS's Terry Okita.
They have a long list of names of the missing and unaccounted for and will continue to go through the list with family and friends to help identify who exactly is still missing.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
632, 31 degrees in Chapel Hill, WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. UNC Provost Jim Dean, who helped lead the campus through the recent student-athlete literacy scandal, will present suggestions to university leaders today that could be used as a framework for measuring Chapel Hill's academic success. The Carolina Metrics Project seeks to build a set of guidelines to measure academic performance and set targets for improvement. Dean will deliver the presentation during a Board of Trustees University Affairs Committee meeting this afternoon. This comes in the wake of the academic and athletics controversies that have haunted the university for more than 3 years now. Those controversies continued in early January when former UNC athletic tutor Mary Willingham told CNN that a majority of Carolina student athletes read at a level no higher than the eighth grade. Following the release of that article and the resulting media superstorm, university leaders went into defense mode, refuting Willingham's claims. In February, UNC retained lawyer and veteran of the U.S. Justice Department, Kenneth Weinstein, to address any questions left unanswered from previous reviews of course irregularities in the African Studies Department. The University Affairs Committee will meet from 2 until 4 p.m. today at the Carolina Inn. Now, there's a lot more to this story. You can get it on our website at chapelborough.com. Also, a variety of other stories leading up to this point. Outgoing UNC student body president Christy Lamdon is asking Chapel Hill town leaders to overturn an ordinance which bans more than 4 unrelated individuals from living in the same residence. He said it has resulted in numerous evictions of students, some of whom were unaware that the rule even existed. Lamdon wants that changed.
No student should be told to move in the middle of the semester, especially due to misleading or lacking information.
That's Christy Lamdon. He presented a petition with 917 signatures to the Chapel Hill Town Council Monday night. In December, town officials said that they were stepping up enforcement of the policy in response to complaints from residents. Lamdon told the council that students are being evicted from their homes in the middle of the academic year and consequently have to find affordable replacement housing, which is already scarce in Chapel Hill. The ordinance was enacted in 2003 to address noise complaints, trash issues, and vehicles that were parking illegally in the streets. It imposes a $100 per day fine for the first offense, with penalties going up to $500 per day for subsequent violations. Those fines are actually imposed on the owner of the house, but students have complained that the violations are falling on the renters.
And the burden placed upon students via fines passed on to them by landlords cannot continue. While the direct harm done to students is not the only consequence of this occupancy rule, it is my primary concern.
In a letter to the student body, Lamdon said that he commissioned a student body task force last November to research the enforcement of the occupancy rule. The group reported to Lamdon that the rule has not been successful in fulfilling its initial claim based on their findings. By repealing the occupancy rule, Lambden said he believed it would minimize the student impact on traditional neighborhoods and reduce resident displacement due to student housing needs.
And we believe that repealing the occupancy rule will increase the density of housing that students inhabit and can help to stop the increased movement of students into historic neighborhoods. This can be achieved in part by allowing more than four students to live in houses that have already been built to accommodate more than the occupancy rule allows for. We ask you to reconsider the occupancy rule and find ways to better protect renters.
Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt asked the council and town staff to incorporate the petition and the concerns that it raises into the town's good neighbor planning efforts, particularly for the north side neighborhoods. As the council voted to receive the petition, it will come up again for discussion and possible action at a future meeting, though a date was not set. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
WCHL news time is 6:36. In other news this morning, a UNC Charlotte student who died early Sunday morning has been identified as 18-year-old Joshua Robert Helm of Hillsboro. Helm was a graduate of Northern High School in Durham and was in his freshman year. According to the News and Observer, police say Helm fell from a seventh-floor window of the 12-story Moore Residence Hall in Charlotte. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department is still investigating the incident and has not ruled out whether it was an accident, suicide, or something else. The Charlotte Observer spoke with someone who lived in the same floor as Helm, who said if anything bothered him, you couldn't tell. And in news around town this morning, you're invited to the Friends of the Downtown's monthly meeting on Thursday, tomorrow, the Franklin Hotel in downtown Chapel Hill. This month's special guest is Zach Ward, executive producer at DSI Comedy Theater, which is moving from Carborough to Franklin Street in April. The meeting gets underway at 10 a.m. with coffee beginning at 9:30. It is free and open to the public. Again, that is tomorrow. Former UNC System President Erskine Bowles will get an honorary degree from Duke University at its commencement ceremony on May 11th. Duke President Richard Broadhead made the announcement on Wednesday. Bowles will be joined by chemist Carolyn Bertozzi, former MIT President Susan Hockfield, author Walter Isaacson, and physician W. Delano Merriweather, the first African-American graduate of the Duke School of Medicine. The commencement speaker will be General Martin E. Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Commencement speakers usually receive an honorary degree as well, but Dempsey says he won't be accepting any more honorary degrees while serving as chairman of the Joint Chiefs, which is a kind of a terrific problem to have. It's 6:38 at WCHL. Coming up, UNC professor Lou Margolis has today's commentary, and it's about the latest investigation at Carolina.
Take the family to Dickie's for a family night or pick up a family pack on your way home because you just don't want to cook. Order online at dickies.com and we will have it ready for you to take out with eight juicy hickory smoked meats, including pulled pork, chicken, ribs, brisket, and more. Add fresh home-style sides and hush puppies and you will have a special night that is tasty and affordable. Dickie's, where kids always eat free on Sunday and everyone gets free ice cream every day. See web for details. Order online today and pick up in Durham off Mount Moriah Road, Crossroads Cary, and downtown Raleigh in the Red Hat Tower.
Hi, this is Tracy Wright and Wendy Thompson with Tony Hall & Associates, the power of two of Chapel Hill and Carborough.
The real estate market is blooming like our spring flowers, and it's a great time to buy or sell a home.
For sellers, we can provide a detailed market analysis to determine value, and for buyers, we can show you the newest listings.
If you have questions about the real estate market, call us, Tracy Wright and Wendy Thompson, and put the power of two to work for you. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
In case you're just waking up this morning and wondering about the Carolina women's basketball team, Tar Heels defeated Michigan State last night in Carmichael Arena and will now move on to the Sweet 16. So congratulations to the Carolina women's basketball team. Roy, what do you think of the Tar Heels?
It's a big-time freaking team.
Yes, it is. 6:40 at WCHL. And coming up, today's commentary from Lou Margolis. We have had a lot of commentaries about this particular subject, and Let's get today's opinion piece.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. As attorney Kenneth Weinstein begins the latest next investigation of the impact of big-time sports on UNC, I'd like to offer two suggestions. First, refrain from using the term student-athlete because this term does not clarify. It only adds confusion to the investigations and discussions that you are about to undertake. Why? Ample excellent scholarship has shown that the term student-athlete is a creation of the NCAA in order to deny the students who play sports the benefits that conventionally flow to workers injured on the job, that is, workers' compensation. If university athletes are students and not workers, then magically the legal employment obligations disappear, even when they sustain career-ending injuries to their knees or brains. For sure, we have students who are athletes, but the term student-athlete does them and us harm. In a university, I'm sure we would all agree that a rigorous investigation should use precise and accurate language. Second, remember that Willie Sutton robbed banks because that's where the money was. The academic compromises made by UNC and virtually every other Division I school almost exclusively involve the revenue or profit sports of football and men's basketball. Among UNC's 800 or so athletes, there are, without question, many outstanding students. There are certainly excellent students who play football and basketball, but it's clear to all who look that the likelihood of finding athletes where academic compromises have been made is disproportionately greater in these two sports. There are many reasons for this, but one stands out: the allure of a major professional sports contract. Although the odds are small of striking the jackpot with a professional contract, too many students in the revenue sports are encouraged and enabled to keep their eye on that jackpot, beginning long before college. Students who play lacrosse or volleyball or engage in gymnastics or swimming do not have those professional chances. Consequently, they are more inclined to take full advantage of the educational opportunities of this university to become well prepared to lead and serve others after leaving Chapel Hill. Mr. Weinstein, please don't use the term student-athlete, and don't go down the many misleading paths in the world of college sports. Focus your efforts on football and men's basketball. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue.
The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
31 degrees in Chapel Hill. I'm Ron Stutz at WCHL. Let's talk a little basketball on WCHL.
Inside Carolina Basketball with Roy Williams. Brought to you by North Carolina Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents and the NCAIA.
Bryce Johnson was only able to play 2 minutes of Carolina's season-ending two-point loss to Iowa State on Sunday after injuring his right ankle early in the first half against the Cyclones. How difficult is it to try and adjust when a key player goes down early in the game? Here's Tar Heel head coach Roy Williams.
And all of a sudden now we're trying to put lineups out there that haven't been together, putting Isaiah back at the four spot when he's been at the three almost the entire year. So it was difficult. And the fact that Bryce gives us two things. He gives us some scoring, and he protects the rim pretty doggone well. And, you know, it might have been more difficult for the guy to make the layup yesterday at the end of the game over Bryce than it was over Jackson, even though if you look at it, the kid shot it. The ball hit above the square. I mean, it was a hard, hard shot, but he's a big-time player, and, you know, big-time players make big-time plays.
What would your child do if your smoke detector sounded in the middle of the night? Young children are at the greatest risk in house fires because they often try to hide under a bed or in a closet. Your Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agent urges you to join their fire safety program, Operation Edith. Plan and practice an exit drill in the home. It could save your child's life.
Brought to you by North Carolina Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents and the NCAIA. To learn more about protecting your home or business, visit TrustedChoice.com.
We all need people who will be there for us in life, especially when things get tough. People who say, we're with you no matter what. At Wells Fargo, we're with you now, at a time when you might have more financial questions than answers, and when it's time to rethink just about everything you do. So whether it's trying to figure out if it's a good time to buy a house, if you need to create a budget, or if you just need to get a handle on your expenses, Wells Fargo is with you. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Thankfully for Johnson and the Tar Heels, the injury does not appear to be one with long-term implications.
The x-rays were negative. He was there today. Doug took him out the pool to try to get it loosened up. He's still wearing the boot. My guess is he'll be in the boot a couple more days, and I guess it'll be 3 or 4 weeks before he would be able to play.
Inside Carolina Basketball with Roy Williams, has been brought to you by North Carolina Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents and the NCAIA.
All right, it's on Carolina Basketball with Roy Williams and WCHL. 6:45 coming up next. We'll get to talk to Rand Northam and get the very latest on our morning traffic. And also, more importantly, we'll just say good morning to Rand.
At Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown, we care about you.
Hi, this is Lida Coleman.
This is David Huntoon.
And this is Mark Brown.
Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown has been right here in Chapel Hill since 1975.
Our CPAs and advisors are ready to help you answer all of life's financial questions.
From tax planning to estate planning.
From starting a business to selling a business.
From saving for college to saving for retirement.
The world is changing. Let us help you find your way.
Coleman, Huntoon, and Brown.
Our people make the difference.
Meet the brokers at Weaver Street Realty. Bill Mullen and Don Bassnight are both native Chapel Hillians who have seen our town through a half century of change. Louise Barnum moves easily from muddy boots to city shoes in her pursuit to meet her clients' needs. Jay Parker is the broker in charge, having developed a loyal client base over 30 years. Gary Phillips and Clayton Nell are the oldest and youngest members of the team, combining experience and intelligence for a fresh perspective. And Crystal Fisher is the savvy specialist for first home buyers. Check them all out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Traffic and weather together now on WCHL. This traffic board brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, a very special place. One of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Ladies and gentlemen, let's have a big round of applause. Rand Northam is here.
Well, thank you, Ron. I appreciate that.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Yeah, you look awfully chipper this morning.
Oh, well, I'm loving life and living it to its fullest.
Moving around with a special spring in your step, and yeah. I've noticed it. I just wanted you to know that.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. And we don't have any threat of snow or ice or anything like that this morning, either.
I mean, not today, but isn't another nice Tuesday will roll around, so it's quite possible.
It does seem like it's every Tuesday, doesn't it?
It almost was every Tuesday in the last 2 months, I think.
Oh, boy, I don't get it.
Well, crazy.
Well, let's hope we're through all this stuff. I know.
Spring needs to spring and be sprung.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what is happening with the traffic situation this morning?
Well, one little slowdown to let you know about NC-54 heading westbound right now between I-40 and Barbie Chapel Road, seeing a slight delay. Otherwise, things moving fairly smoothly this morning. I-40, the Durham Freeway, 15501, Estes Drive, Franklin Street, and MLK, all moving without any delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
You must have been back there practicing this or something.
I was.
It was just splendidly delivered.
You think I'm actually busy back there, but really all I'm doing is practicing traffic.
Well, got lots of time to practice.
Except for that part of
sure.
it, apparently.
Because I know there's nothing to do back there.
Yeah, right. Well, I do have to give a quick shout-out, too, to the UNC women's basketball team.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Brava, ladies. Keep it going.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they won last night, and not only that, but they won impressively.
Yeah, against number 5 Michigan State, and yeah. I mean, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
Go to the Sweet 16 and represent, for sure.
Get to go all the way to the West Coast for the Sweet 16 play, but that's okay. Carolina, happy to be alive.
And I'll tell you what, Carolina teams know how to travel to the West Coast and play well.
Yeah.
You think of the UNC women's soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it before.
They know all about it.
That's right.
Hey, listen, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you later. WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather, brought to you by Sturdivant's Tire Pros. You want to go to Sturdivant's Tire Pros, you're going to find some folks who know what they're doing. And Sturdivant's Tire Pros, you can call them at 942-TIRE or visit them online if you like, 942TIRE.com. Go see Terry Sturdivant and all the folks there at Sturdivant's Tire Pros in Chapel Hill. All right, it is 31 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Sunshine today, hot today in the middle 40s. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 20s, so even chillier than it is right now. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies with a high around 57 or 58 degrees, a little bit warmer. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. And then on Friday, a cloudy day with a 50-50 chance of rain and the high in the upper 60s. So that's the way it goes. Big chance of rain coming for the weekend, and also warmer. Kind of chilly this morning, 31 at WCHL. Time now for celebrity birthdays. Got a whole bunch of them. Singer Diana Ross is 70 years old today. Wanted to mention that one early. Diana Ross and the Supremes, and later, of course, a huge solo star. 70 years old today. Does that make you feel old? Also, we got some folks older than that. Retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor is 84. Actor-director Leonard Nimoy is 83. Star Trek actor Alan Arkin is 80 years old today. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, 74. Actor James Caan is 74. Journalist Bob Woodward and Bernstein, 71 years old today. Actor and singer Johnny Crawford, 68 years old today. Steven Tyler, lead singer Aerosmith, 66 years old today. He's kind of ageless. Singer and television personality Vicki Lawrence is 65 years old today. Comedian Martin Short is 64. Country singer Ronnie McDowell, 64 years old today. Country singer Charlie McClain, 58. Television personality Lisa Gibbons is 57 years old today. Actress Jennifer Grey, probably most well known for her role in Dirty Dancing. She played a character called Baby in that movie. She's 54 years old today. College and Pro Football Hall of Famer Marcus Allen turns 54. Basketball Hall of Famer John Stockton is 52. Country singer Kenny Chesney, 46 years old today. Actor T.R. Knight is 41. And actress Amy Smart is 38 years old today. Actress Keira Knightley, 29. We have a local celebrity celebrating a birthday today. Kate Shaw has a birthday, and Kate is our birthday winner. She's going to get a $10 gift certificate to the UPS stores, Fordham Boulevard and Metamont. Kate, I hope it is a really good birthday for you, that you celebrate big time. Just don't get in any trouble. Kate Shaw, happy birthday from all the folks at UPS, Fordham Boulevard and Metamont, and all of us here at WCHL.
All right, time for trivia on WCHL. And who would you like to deliver your trivia question today? I would suggest...
Me,
young man. You got your hand up.
I got here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Freddie Kiger.
Thank you.
Let's have Freddie do it today.
Thanks, Mr. Stutz.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad to have you in here, young man. You look like a little red-headed fuzzball running around in the building here.
Red-headed fuzzball, yes. I am an eager beaver, Mr. Stutz.
I only say that because Freddie has said that, that...
When I was a kid, I had the GI.
Uh-huh.
You know, so to get the miles between the haircuts.
Uh-huh.
And I was a little orange, you know, just a little orange fuzzball.
I can only imagine you as a little kid.
Because I was little. I was tiny.
Yeah.
You know how much I weighed when I graduated from high school?
I don't know.
125.
Really? Wow.
I got my grandfather's jeans on my mom's side.
Uh-huh. Man. You can still wear them after all that time, all those years?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I still wear my softball pants, and we got softball seasons coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're kind of blessed with that man. I mean, you haven't really gained any weight over the years.
I've been wearing my softball pants since I was 19.
That's amazing. Most of us can't say that.
No.
I could wear my old softball pants on my one leg, I guess. And most people are like that. You know, metabolism slows down, but yours is like out of the roof.
Hamster.
Hamster. Always running on a wheel.
Woo.
Oh, man. Well, you got a good trivia question?
Yeah. We're going to do something that's a little strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Major League Baseball is going to be starting up the latter part of this week. I mean, here we go with another season. And that made me start thinking a blend of sport and history.
Okay.
So we're doing lefties.
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 Okay.
Okay. Here we go, folks.
All right.
Back in the 20th century. We had three consecutive U.S. presidents who were southpaws.
Ah.
Name two of them.
Okay.
Back in the 20th century, we had three consecutive presidents who were southpaws.
Mm-hmm.
Name two of them.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Kathy Porter is Executive Director of the RSVP 55 Plus Volunteer Program, a part of the Orange County Department on Aging. And Kathy Porter is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Well, the RSVP program is the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, and we basically recruit volunteers that are 55 years of age and over, and we recruit them and refer them to nonprofit agencies throughout the community. At this time, we have approximately 550 volunteers that work in over 100 different nonprofit agencies and programs. We have some volunteers that almost I look at it as a full-time job, working in several different agencies maybe. It is something that it takes great dedication for some people. On the other hand, you've got people that maybe work once a month for maybe 4 hours. Maybe they work several times a year doing one-shot volunteer assignments, helping out with a health fair or a street festival or just one-time things.
Kathy Porter has served as director of the RSVP program for a long time.
Been with the program here in Orange County 25 years now, and as executive director, 19 years as executive director.
Wow, that's been a long time, and I know you've worked with some wonderful people, and I guess that probably is one of the main pleasures of the job, getting to work with such great people, at the same time knowing that you're really helping the Orange County community.
Oh, yes. We not only work with nonprofit agencies, we have several programs that we coordinate ourselves through RSVP, and one of those programs is the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, VITA, where we work with people who have low to middle incomes and we prepare their tax returns.
RSVP hosts an annual recognition luncheon.
It's a wonderful event.
Kathy Porter, thank you for all you do to make Orange County a better place in which to live. Kathy Porter, Director of the RSVP Program, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
657 at WCHL. Good morning. Bill Clinton was one of them.
That would be correct.
Bill Clinton is left-handed, and I guess we're talking about following him. Man, I can't even remember who was president before. I can't even remember who the other ones are.
Who was before Bill Clinton?
Before Bill Clinton.
Because you're telling me Bill Clinton's the last of the three.
All right. Gerald Ford?
He's not consecutive. I'm bailing Ron out here.
Yeah, please do.
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, okay.
George H.W. Bush,
yeah,
and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I knew Bill Clinton was left-handed.
Yep.
That's about the extent of my knowledge.
Yep. We've had eight that we know of,
mm-hmm.
Because we're not quite sure. In fact, back in the early days of American history, a lot of people who were left-handed tried to disguise it because there was that rumor or that wives' tale that there was a stigma.
Stigma
attached
to it.
Thing, you know.
And I tell you something else. President Obama is also left-handed. And the correct answer would have been Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, followed by Bill Clinton. If you knew all three of them, all we asked is that, you know, two of them. And nobody could get that. Everybody got Bill Clinton, but nobody got the others. So we got no winner today. Freddie stumped everybody, and he'll be back with another question for you bright and early tomorrow on WCHL.
Most people who go into business selling office equipment do it for 2 weeks and then move on. I've been in the office equipment business for 10 years and am still going strong. I love connecting with people and I love my job. Courtesy calls, follow-up emails, I want to talk with you and I want to make sure you're happy. And if you're not happy, then neither am I. I'm Blake Smith and I'm with CEI, the source in the triangle for your office equipment needs since 1957. Visit me online at copycei.com. You'll be glad you did, and so will your office.
All day and all night. 97.9 FM, WCHL, is your source for breaking news, up-to-the-minute weather, and all kinds of information on our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, and instantly live streaming on chapelboro.com. There's an app for that. Now, back to Ron Stutz.
Berkeley Grenble and Grenble Jewelers brings you a look at the weather this morning. Grenble's right next to Whole Foods on Elliott Road in the Village Plaza. Sunshine today, high today in the middle 40s. Actually, nice day. Tonight, clear and colder with low in the low 20s.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
It's 7 o'clock.
Carolina football.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.